Welcome to this month's special guest interview.
This month, I'm very pleased to have Mr. George Bodecker as my special expert guest. George Bodecker has been strength training for 54 years, starting in college at age 17. George was a competitive Olympic and powerlifter and built his body from 135 to over 250 pounds. George was strong and big, but not fit, so in his 20s, he decided to train for health, fitness, and strength. Now at age 71, George is 6 feet tall, 178 pounds, and wears the same size pants as he did in the Army in 1957. George specializes in training average people over 50 in strength, fitness, and weight loss. He likes to keep both strength and fitness training, as well as diet, very simple. His goal is to help people change their lifestyle by eliminating junk food and exercising for brief periods. George also encourages his clients to walk as much as possible. George likes to create short functional workouts so average and busy people can have fun and stay motivated. His goal is for his clients to enjoy their training and feel energized afterwards so they can look forward to exercise. George has trained many clients that have lost 20 to 50 pounds by following his advice and simple programs, most of whom have kept the weight off. Good morning, George. Welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update.
Well, thank you. Good morning, Corey.
George, you know, you've got a fascinating life history, and I'd like to get into that. So perhaps let's go back in time to the beginning of your life. Can you tell us, for example, where were you born and what was life like growing up for George Bodecker, and did you get into any sports when you were younger?
Well, I was born in Staten Island, New York in 1938, and most of my early memories are about World War II and my father going off to war for 3 years. And my mother was very little, about 4'10" and thin, and my father was 6'2" and thin. And I was skipped a grade during World War II, so I was the smallest and youngest person all through grade school and high school, and that affected my life quite a bit. I really didn't play any sports except for intramural sports.
So what was it about Olympic and powerlifting that attracted you?
Well, I got attracted to Olympic and powerlifting early fall in 1951. I tried out for the high school football team. And I walked into a room, and I would ride to school on a school bus, and my nickname on the school bus was Georgie Peanut. And I didn't like that, of course, but the guys who were calling me that were about 5 years older. And I walked into this big room with a strong, big, bald coach in front of the room, and I said, "Is this where you try out for football?" And one of the guys yelled, "Hey, there's Georgie Peanut." And the coach slammed his hand on his head and said, "What kind of bleep are we getting now?" I was humiliated, of course, and I ran out of school, and I decided to go home on the train. And right by the train station was a magazine store. In the window of the magazine store was a cover of Strength and Health magazine. And on the cover was a picture of John Davis. And the caption said, "World's strongest man deadlifts 600. Olympic lifting champion John Davis deadlifts 600. I said to myself, "I'm going to do that someday." And that's what got me to start thinking about strength training, powerlifting, and Olympic lifting. I always admired people, especially men in those days, it was all men, men that were looked strong and were strong, rather than a bodybuilder type that looked strong and wasn't, in other words.
Yes, exactly. And that brings us to another area, too. You mentioned that when you were younger, it was only for men. But now, of course, we see that tradition has been worn over, and now men and women are equally involved. And so maybe you can talk about why a woman should not be afraid of weightlifting.
I can. I've trained in the last 50-some-odd years with a lot of women in a lot of different gyms, from New York State to Texas to Colorado. And I've never seen a woman get big muscles. They think a lot of times they're afraid of getting big muscles, but they'll get nice-looking muscles and get more fit, but they don't get big. There's no fear of that at all. They don't have the testosterone. I don't think, I'm not a scientist, but they're not going to gain muscles and get big like men do. They're just going to be stronger and more fit. and live a longer, better life from strength training.
Now, George, you're 71, and you're very fit, and you train like a young man. What motivates you to train? Like, what gets you to the gym every day, and why do you do what you do?
Well, I go to the gym, and I also have a gym in my garage here in Colorado. I have a better gym, in fact, than the one I belong to. But for one thing, I'm addicted to strength training and also cardio fitness. I'm addicted to training. I love it. I love the way I feel afterwards. As I was told early on in my career, I should feel better after a workout than I did before, and I do now. I feel much better. So I love it. Plus, I also believe, Corey, that one of my purposes in life is to help other people live longer, stronger, better, more productive, and happier lives. I worked for IBM for 30 years, and I'd see a lot of young men and women that were traveling and weren't doing any training, and almost all of them got big, really big, and they weren't fit or strong, and they weren't healthy. So I believe I'm here. I believe one of my main life purposes is to be an example for my children, friends, and other people, so they can stay strong, fit, and lean as they age.
That's fantastic, George. Now, what about your contemporaries, like men and women in your age group? How do they respond when they see you weight training? What do they think about it?
Well, especially when I go to my gym in Boulder, almost every day somebody will ask me how old I am. Most men that are 60 or 70 or women just don't believe that you can stay fit and strong. And even people that are 50 will ask me, how old are you now? My massage therapist asked me if I was 50 yet. So I gave her a nice tip. But people are surprised that you can stay strong and fit and lean just by modifying your diet a little bit and cutting back on the foods that make you fat and exercising. And you don't need to spend, my secret is that I like to teach people, Corey, is that you don't need to spend hours and hours in a gym. A 15-minute cardio workout or 20 to 30 minutes with dumbbells or weights, and if you don't sit around a lot, you can get a fantastic workout in that period of time.
So the perception that people have is probably not accurate, and we get that from what? Things we've heard, magazine, pictures, TV episodes, things like that, but people really are not in tune with the real life application like what you're experiencing.
No, they are not. And I noticed this a lot in my career with IBM. It seemed like as soon as men got to be 50, something clicked in on their brain that said, gee, I better slow down now. I better sit down careful. I better walk a little easier. And it seemed to me that men succumbed to this more than women did. That's just my anecdotal evidence anyway. For some reason, they've been convinced that as you get older, you really need to retire and you need to sit down and maybe play a little golf, ride a golf cart around, and just watch television during the day. I don't believe in any of that.
Now, have you also noticed, say, in men your age, that they become less ambitious, they become less desirous of maybe their sexuality is affected? Do you notice that in other men your age as well?
You know, I don't notice that so much. I do know they're less ambitious, men my age. And I've been telling myself and people for a long, long time, I am not going to grow old gracefully. I don't want to. I expect to live to be 100 years old. And before I hurt my leg in August, I was probably in the best shape for my age in my life. And really by not spending a lot of time at it.
Something of interest in your bio, you discovered that being big was not enough, that being fit was also important. So what's the difference between the two? Because I don't think a lot of people really get that. They train for size, the way they look, but they don't understand fitness and health and truly being fit as a human being.
I learned that early on when I was a powerlifter, 250 pounds. At 6 foot tall with pretty small bones, except for my shoulders and my hips and my back are big, but my legs and long arms, long leg, that wasn't my good weight for me. Although I was very strong, I was squatting over 500, deadlifting over 600, doing quarter squats with 1,000 pounds. I was strong, but I'd get winded running up steps. I was strong but not fit, and it didn't feel healthy and it didn't feel good. Plus, I had a 40-inch waist, and of course, that didn't look good. I didn't feel like I looked good. I looked scary at 6 foot 250. I didn't feel healthy. I thought I coined a word called fit strength. I think fitness and strength is much more important than just strength. And I also learned this when I was in the Army. A lot of big people, ex-football players, big strong men, couldn't cut it with the hikes and the pull-ups and the running and the sit-ups and stuff. I just couldn't make it. I just decided right after I retired from competitive weightlifting at age 27 that from now on I'm going to get back down to my ideal weight. And it took me a long time to get down, by the way. I didn't know as much about nutrition as I do now. So it took me quite a while. I started following the Atkins diet, and that helped quite a bit. But I probably only lost like 10 pounds a year, so it took me 4 or 5 years to get down to around 200 pounds.
Now, you talked about the brevity of your training and that perhaps people aren't aware that you're not training for hours and hours every day. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about your training program, what you do on a regular basis.
Okay, I'd be glad to. I like to alternate shoulders, arms, abs one day, and then two, depending on how I feel, how my system feels, 2 or 3 days later, legs, abs, 2 or 3 days later, chest, back, and maybe throw abs in at the same time. And I look, because what I learned early on, I didn't learn this lesson really well till lately, but I should have learned it early on, that most people don't pay enough attention to recovery time, especially to the pretty intense workouts that I go through. I don't lift to failure, but I lift to pretty close to it. And a lot of my workouts will just be one set. Maybe I'll do 5 or 6 exercises, say like a dumbbell bench press. I'll just lift until I almost fail, and then stop. And I find that's enough to stimulate muscle strength and muscle growth, plus I heal from it quicker.
And what about your aerobic activity? What do you do for that?
Well, I've always done a lot of walking, but I really don't count that as aerobic. Although living in Colorado, walking up my mountain was a difficult workout here. I go from 5,500 feet to 6,500 feet, so that's strenuous. But I like to do a protocol called PACE, P-A-C, by Dr. Al Sears. I don't know if you heard of him. It's high-intensity sprint training. I enjoy this a lot more because I think I believe I'm more fit now, or at least before I was hurt, than I ever was in my life from doing this. And I was tested at the Cooper Clinic and was tested in the top 3% for my age group in cardiovascular health. And that's before I did the sprint. So I thought I'm pretty sure I'm in better shape. I was in better shape anyway than I was then. I like to do like 12 to 15 minutes. I either use an Exercycle, my Schwinn Airdyne, which I really like, or my stepper, a stepper called Exerciser by Corrective Wellness. And I'll get on that, and I warm up first for a couple of minutes, 2 or 3 minutes, and then I'll do 1 minute or 60 seconds slow run on the stepper. I'll do the same thing on a bike, maybe 3 or 4 minutes easy, and then 1 minute, or maybe I'm warming up at level 2 or 3, and then I'll hit 1 minute level 5. Another minute recovery, and I do the same thing with the stepper, and then 1 minute level 6. And I record this also to see how many levels I got so I can work on making improvement. And the workouts take maybe 12 to 15, maybe 20 minutes at most from all three different things, my Exercycle, my stepper, and my Schwinn Airdyne. And I believe these exercises burn fat quicker, and they make your heart stronger and your lungs stronger than just slow running. Now, the truth is I believe it now anyway.
That's fantastic. So you really find that people are attracted to the shorter workouts rather than perceiving that they're going to have to spend a lot of time in the gym or somewhere training?
I guarantee it, especially older people. A lot of older people don't even want to go to a gym, Corey. They're intimidated by it. The women are intimidated by the younger women, and the men are intimidated by the big 250-pound guys dropping the 45 plates down it. So a lot of people don't want to go to a gym. So the thing that I teach people is that with dumbbells for 15 minutes, a couple times, 2-3 times a week, you know, they're not going to look like Arnold Schwarzenegger in his prime, but they're going to get a lot stronger. And the same thing with cardio training. If they have an Exercycle or a elliptical machine, or even if they just walk, and then maybe after a couple, 3-4 minutes of warm-up, they walk really fast for a minute. Or maybe if they're even in a little better condition, they'll a slow jog just to get their heart up, to spike their heart. I know people are intimidated by long periods of time of working out in the gym or at home.
You know, a generation is about 20 years, George. So what changes have you noticed, say, in the last couple of generations that relate to individual lifestyle, like how people are living today in America?
Well, of course, you know, people are much fatter than they were a couple of generations ago. I think it's because people are watching more television, they're sitting in front of their computer more. My last job at IBM that I actually hated was I'd sit in front of a computer all day long. and that's when almost pretty much everybody did. That can't be good for you. People are more sedentary, they're doing less exercise, they're eating more fast food, and as you know, a little less exercise and just a little more food, even if it's only a couple potato chips a day, after a while somebody's going to gain a pound a year from that. And I know the average person gains at least a half a pound to a pound a year of fat and loses a half a pound of muscle a year, and I think I've seen this happen. It just amazes me. I try not to stare at people, but even when I was especially living in Texas, I saw 800 and 1,000 pound couples. Unbelievably big people.
So what kind of foods were you raised on when you were a kid growing up? Like today, kids go to 7-Eleven, they live on Slurpees, they eat pizza at lunchtime, they come home, they have pizza pops, microwaved. What kind of foods were you eating when you were like 9 and 10?
Vegetables, meat, potatoes, pretty much. Maybe a sandwich, a tuna fish sandwich or turkey sandwich for lunch. Because we didn't have all those things then when I was a kid, but we could have eaten better, but my mom usually tried to make a salad for us at dinner time, so we'd have a salad first. And when I was a kid, I don't remember anybody being fat. Any kids being fat.
Now, what about dietary supplements and vitamins and minerals and glucosamine? Do you take any of these things, and how do you take them, and what are the ones that stand out in your mind that you like the most?
I do. I usually have whey protein every morning, either in a drink with strawberries or in my cereal. I eat Ezekiel cereal, which is zero sugar, 14 grams of carbs. My favorite product of all is Juice Plus. And now that I'm healing, I'm taking probably double the portion of that. So I'm getting from the Juice Plus maybe 8 servings of fruit and about 12 servings of vegetables a day. I also believe in a product called Emergency. And I talked to the owner of that company about 15 years ago when I lived in Texas, and he said the only person that he knew of taking it longer in Texas than me was Chuck Norris. I drink about 5 of those a day. It's a powder you put in a glass of water. So I'm taking in at least 5 to 6 grams of vitamin C a day. And I take a multiple vitamin by Shaklee, B-complex. I'm taking MSM so I can heal quicker. I take a lot more supplements, maybe more than I need to, but it's working for me.
That's the main thing, is the evidence and the outcome. Now, I know that you had an injury recently. Maybe we can talk about that, George, because a lot of people experience injuries and they take a pharmaceutical, conventional medical approach. Can you tell us how you injured yourself and what you're doing to promote healing naturally?
Yes, I can. It's something that I wanted to tell people about. I injured myself, I remember, about 2 years ago when I lived in Texas and I was running my dogs by a lake we live by, and I was twisted my knee in mud, and I felt something tear in my knee. Now I can say tear, but I didn't know what it was at the time. I just felt like a spike in my knee. And when I moved to Colorado 13 months ago, I have a big hill behind me, and every time I walk down the hill, I feel a spike or a pain in my knee. So what my physical therapist thinks and my doctor thinks is I was slowly tearing my quadricep muscle off my knee. Then at the end of August, I was walking down the stairs, and I wasn't paying attention. I wasn't holding on to the banister, and one of my rescue dogs just brushed my left calf, so I moved it off the step. So I missed the step, fell down the stairs, hyperextended my knee, and what happened at the time is I tore my quadricep tendon right off my knee. And the surgery was brutal. The doctor said it's one of the more painful orthopedic surgeries you can have. He drilled 6 holes in my knee, and he's a big man. And he said he pulled as hard as he did water skiing to pull the tendon down to attach it. And that was 6 weeks ago. But ever since then, he gave me the okay to walk dogs as long as I use my trekking pole so I can walk at my dogs. I got off pain pills within 2 weeks, and I got off anything. I didn't take anything else. I don't like the way they made me feel. I'm taking, like I told you, MSM, a lot of vitamin C, calcium, magnesium, and I'm going to rehab twice a week. I have a really nice physical therapist, really good, smart lady who's just started me on weight-bearing exercises. Before that, it was range of motion things. So I'm trying to do it just a natural way.
That's excellent. Now, we talked prior to this interview about how you thought that being in shape prior to the injury has really helped accelerate the wound healing. So you really think that makes a big difference?
Well, I was told that by 2 physical therapists, a naturopathic doctor, and also my orthopedic surgeon, that it normally would take a year for me to recover from this injury, even for a young person. But because I'm not overweight and because I've been training and I'm strong, that I should recover much quicker.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. There's plenty of evidence and science to support that. So good for you, George. And it just shows that the time and energy that we put into the preservation of our body and life spells itself out in a lot of ways that we can't even imagine until we go through some of life's events.
Exactly. I never thought about this healing quicker because I'm in shape, but I really believe you do. You age more gracefully when you're strong and fit. You can do more. You can carry the 50-pound bag of oats into the barn, and you can do things that a lot of people, even in their 40s and 50s, can't do.
Now, did you grow up with any particular role models? Did you have any mentors as a young boy that you found direction from or that helped you design your life?
Well, my role models, Corey, were these strength athletes that I read about in Strength and Health, Iron Man, the Weider publication. I just idolized people who were strong, and especially being such a puny little twerp that I was, I think that's one of the reasons why. But that, my role models were fit, strong people.
And when you started weight training and you got the results, I mean, how did you respond when you first started weight training, when you picked up the iron and you threw it around? Did you get results really fast, or was it frustrating? Describe that experience.
Well, that was one of the most fun experiences of my life. My father bought me the set of weights, and we didn't even have dumbbells with it, and we didn't have a bench. In order to do squats, we sat in a chair in my college dormitory. We sat in a chair, and people put the bar on your shoulders, or we did front squats or hack squats with the barbell. Joe Weider program was about 8 to 10 exercises, one set each after warm-up, and 3 days a week. And I went from 135 to 170 in about 3 months or 4 months. And when I went home on break, my father looked at me like he didn't know me, and my mom said, "Is that you, George?" It was incredible.
So you fell in love with the iron, you fell in love with the muscle that you built from it, and then how did that change you in your life? Like, did it give you more confidence? Did you feel better about yourself?
It gave me much more confidence. The day before I formally retired from competitive powerlifting, because it was taking too much time, I had decided, remember I told you I wanted to do 600 pounds. Most I ever deadlifted was 580 in training, weighing maybe 230 or 240. And I was 215 at the time, and there was a new weight class, it's called 220-pound class. And I never competed in it, but I took a month off from heavy deadlifting, heavy squatting. I just did a lot of prone hyperextensions and rows and things like that. And I visualized, I told my friends I was going to do 6 1/4 on a Friday night a month from now. And I visualized every day before I went to sleep when I woke up, me doing 6 1/4 very easy. So on that Friday night, I psyched myself up, warmed up, you know, 135 for 10, 2 1/4 for 1, 3, 305. I warmed up, and we got the 6 1/4 on the bar, and chalked my hands up and picked it up like it was nothing. I think this still, to this day, that gives me confidence, knowing that I broke a record, that I reached a goal that I wanted to make, that I wanted to achieve, I should say, when I was 13.
A young person could go into the gym and more or less find themselves and discover principles that they can take into real life and apply in their personal life, in their marriage, or in their workplace.
Oh, I agree 100%, and especially in goal setting. All my lifting career, even today, I get a new book every year. I'll get a new book when I heal from my injury and just write down what my goals are going to be for age 72. Young people can do the same thing, and when you reach your goals, it's a wonderful feeling of confidence, and I think it just helps a young person's attitude.
Now, looking back, because at 70, you know, the average expected life term today is about 78, about 80, if you're lucky, and then, you know, like the 70 and by reason of strength, another 10. So you're 71, and you're thinking about living to 100. Somebody might say, well, what's the point? You probably see a lot of pain and suffering in people your own age. They're not in shape. They're not fit. They're suffering perhaps needlessly. Does this help you in your own perception of reality, like philosophically speaking? What does it do for you? Does the gym or the training become an end unto itself, or is it only a means unto another end?
You know, I do enjoy training a lot. It's a means to an end. A combination of fitness and strength. When people guess your age at 55 and you're 71, it's a good feeling. I just had a test on my arteries test because my cholesterol's a little high. So one doctor said, you really need to get on drugs. I don't take any drugs at all. So instead of that, I took this test where they measure your arteries, and my arterial age is 57, so 14 years younger than I am. So I'm not worried about my cholesterol. That has to help my life expectancy. I feel better now than I did when I was 45, when I was running 5 miles a day. I feel better now.
What you're saying is it really comes down to quality of life. And if you build quality into your body, then theoretically you should also gain some quantity of time and enjoy more time doing the things that you actually like and find fulfillment in.
Well worded. You're 100% right. Being older is harder. You don't heal quite as quickly in the gym. So maybe you work out twice a week instead of three times and do more walking, which I believe helps us heal. You know, swimming, things like that. But yeah, no question about it. It adds to your quality of your life and your quantity of your life.
Now, I look at, you know, people in your age group, even mine, and if someone is kind of like theoretically, quote-unquote, semi-retired or retired, it would seem as if they've got all kinds of time to spare, to spend training and working out and looking after themselves, but they're not doing that. So when you look at your contemporary friends and family, your age in that 60, 70, 80-year-old age bracket, what's holding them back from getting into this life cycle where the exercise and the better nutrition brings better health and then better quality? It would seem to be self-evident. It would seem to be so obvious. So what is it? Is it an attitude? Are they ignorant? Are they being held back by a form of repression or oppression in society? What are your thoughts on that?
This is one of the mysteries of the ages. I have a friend that I've been trying to coach for 10 years. He's 65. He wants to retire. But he can't. He pays $500 a month for his diabetes medicine. I gave him a set of weights. I told him just start walking. He knows how to eat, but he doesn't do any exercise at all. And every time I talk to him, he'll say, I should have listened to you. And he still doesn't. I can't understand it. And there's a man that lives close to me here in Colorado that I met at a Chamber of Commerce meeting. I was talking about my new business and what I want to do. And he was in his mid-50s. He laughingly said, I know I'm 65 pounds overweight. I need to do something about it. I offered to coach him for free. I offered to bring my stepper over, my dumbbells, my adjustable dumbbells, and get him started, and he still turned me down. So if I knew the answer to how to turn people on to exercise, I think if they thought it was a pill that you could buy, everybody would buy it. This generation wants the easy way, the easy fix.
Yeah, it's almost like we're being covered by a blanket, and it's hard to snap people out. I mean, even I'm sure you've had this experience, George, with as a father with your own children, or seeing this attitude that prevents people from moving forward. So do you see yourself as having a gift? Like, why is it that you're able to do it? And when you ask yourself, what's the difference between me and the next guy? Like, am I that special? Did God put inside of me a special gift? How do you kind of figure that out?
That's exactly why I think I have a gift, and that's exactly why I believe my life purpose, a part of my life purpose, and after taking care of my wife and dogs and horses and cats and supporting my children emotionally and intellectually, is to help other people, to be an example, to help other people live longer, better lives. I believe it. I do have a gift for it. Plus, I also don't train to exhaustion anymore. And this has helped me, especially as I'm aging. Sometimes I might not feel like a workout, so I'll say to myself, let's just go in the gym and let's just curl the 25s and press the 35s. And if we feel like working heavier, we can. But even if you just did that, Bodecker, you'll be better off. And I'll fool myself into it. Just go out and work out. Next thing you know, I worked my abs for three good sets, and I did three or four sets for my shoulders and incline presses, standing presses, curls, and half an hour goes by and I got a nice workout and I have fun with it. The other thing that helps me, Corey, is I don't lift to limit. I don't lift to failure. And this helps a lot because I used to do that. I used to believe in the one set to failure theory, but I found like I would have to psych myself up for every workout. Now I don't do that. I have fun with the workouts. Sometimes I'm amazed, and I know you probably have had the same experience, where you go to the gym and you don't even feel good and you break records.
And absolutely. Isn't that true?
Yeah, you think, I don't really feel it. I did this the other day. Here I am. I'm needing a lot of energy for my healing of my leg. I went to my gym, 24 Hour Fitness in Boulder, and they have these free motion machines that I really like. And I used them 5 years ago when I was working out in Texas in a gym. And he, 5 years later, and 20 pounds lighter than I was 5 years ago, I'm still pressing, chest pressed with the free motion machines, 90 pounds each hand, and I curl the 50s, and I pull down the 120s, and that was more weight than I could do 5 years ago, and weighing 200 pounds. That's motivational to me. Setting goals and keeping records are very motivational to me. And then what I've also learned as I'm aging, to set different goals each year. Don't try to compete with myself when I was 40, and I could warm up with 2 1/4 on the bench. I can't do that anymore. So compete with myself from last year and try to get a little better. That's what motivates me.
Yeah, that's wonderful. That's excellent. Now, I know that you're into the internet. You surf it and you use it. Perhaps there are other people, 70s and 80s, they're kind of afraid or intimidated by it, but is that how you gain the information that you acquire, or do you read books or newsletters? What are some of your favorite ways of learning?
I've been studying this since I was a little boy, reading Strength and Health, Iron Man, and I knew Perry Rader personally, had dinner at my house, and emceed a weightlifting contest, so I knew him. I read his magazine. I have so many books. I have books I haven't read yet, but I just bought a book that I absolutely love called The Purposeful Primitive by Marty Gallagher. I like that a lot. I bought another book that's for seniors. It's called Living the Fitness Lifestyle by Logan Franklin. I find these on the internet. That's right. I didn't answer your question, but that's where I find them nowadays, is just by surfing the internet. And I send for the books, and now I have about 5 or 6 more to read. Plus, I also read things. I also like, I've been checking your website out lately and listen to some of the SNUs, the updates. And they're incredible, and it'll be an education just to go through all them for me. So I'll do that. I also like, I don't know how to pronounce this man's last name, Pavel, I think it's Testaline. Do you know him?
I'm not sure the name.
He's a Russian. I met him at a weightlifting seminar. He wrote a book, lots of books. One is Power to the People. His website is dragondoor.com. I like that one. I get a newsletter by Richard Winnert called Master Trainer, which is very good. I've read all of Stuart McRoberts' book. He was the editor of Hard Gainer magazine. I read as much as I can about it. It helps me change routines and motivate myself and think about becoming more fit and stronger.
See, that was my point, educating the mind and filling it up with good thoughts and positive information, useful information, and then getting motivated to apply it and excited about living. I think that's part of the problem that's going on out there, George. And I remember when we first met, and our meeting was set up through a friend, that we have in common, Dr.
Right.
Mark Smith. And Tracy and I, met you in Colorado, and you came to the RV to show us the Exciser, the stepper, and we were immediately impressed with your enthusiasm and your energy, your incredible physique. But it's your personality. You're very charming and you're pleasant. And don't you think that above all, having a kind disposition and a desire to help people is probably the most fundamental consideration in a human being?
I do. I don't know how I've developed that, quite honestly, except that I believe in monitoring my self-talk. I believe in visualization. I'm visualizing my perfect healing. I say to myself, I thank God every day for my perfect healing of my leg, perfect rehabilitation, perfect recovery, perfect regaining of strength and range of motion. And I really believe in what we say to ourselves also. I've been self-programming myself since the mid-70s when I listened to Earl Nightingale on his record called The Strangest Secret, We Become What We Think About. And I really believe we do become what we think about. And I'll tell myself things like, I intend to be the strongest man in the world at 180 pounds. Maybe that's crazy, but that's the kind of thing I do.
That's absolutely fantastic. Just super, George. Listen, our time is gone, and I really want to thank you for the time that you've given and the interview that we've been able to share, for being my special guest on this month's edition of SNU. George, you're a very wealthy man in many different ways, and I'm just wondering if you wouldn't mind sharing a parting thought, some of that wealth that you've got inside, to leave us thinking about, and perhaps the individual that's right on the edge right now. They know they need to do more. They aren't doing the work. They're suffering with maybe a form of depression. They're not motivated. What would you say to that man or woman out there who's in their 60s or 70s or even younger right now?
A good example, even younger, is my middle son is 60 pounds overweight now, or 65 pounds overweight. he's very depressed. He's looking at 65 pounds, and he used to be a great runner. And I, just a week ago, told him, look, just think of progress, not perfection. Make a little progress today. Start walking half an hour a day. Plus, he was drinking 4 or 5 sodas a day. The easiest way to lose fat is to give up sodas. And he told me he's already noticed that he's lost about 8 pounds or 10 pounds in the last week or 10 days from this. And he feels better not looking at the whole big picture, but thinking about try to make a little progress every day and have a long-term goal, but also have short-term goals like get down to 250 from 260 and get your pants size down from, he's wearing size 42s now, believe it or not, and get down to 38s and things like that. So I think take it a little bit at a time and don't think you can get back in shape overnight. It takes a lot of people a long time to get big and overweight and out of shape. Think about just making a little bit of progress each day, each week. The advice I would give people.
George Bodecker has been strength training longer than I've been alive. He trains people, he shows them the way, shares the knowledge that he's gained over a lifetime, and is a very exciting and enthusiastic role model. George, we thank you very much.
Thank you, Corey.
We hope you've enjoyed the topics discussed and our special guest interview on this edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU is produced monthly and is distributed internationally by the Corey Hawley Institute. To learn how you can subscribe to this unique and motivational audio program, please visit CoreyHawley.com or call us toll-free in the U.S. and Canada at 1-866-433-1595. That's 1-866-433-1595. This is Scott Barrett, wishing you the very best of health and fitness for life.
Representing lifestyle. New way of life. Listen. It's SNU, sing along, it's true. Yo, coming through straight. Malik with Sports Nutrition Update. Prolong your life, live long, stay strong, for it won't be long till your time is gone. So I sing this song to pass on wisdom. Hit us up at CoreyHawley.com. Love your life, live right, things will be alright. Knowledge is key, just follow our lead. You'll see a change in heart and health, which leads to wealth and higher self-esteem. Follow your dreams and see. Follow your dreams and see.